Well, how do y'all like doing the DBS? Is that cool, getting the word and just going deep with each other? Yeah, so the idea is that we learn how to do a discovery Bible study, and then everybody leads a discovery Bible study. Because it's like literally, it's so simple. You literally just go top to bottom, read the word, ask some questions, and then from that sparks all this conversation. So the idea is that you can lead one with your friends, your family, your coworkers, people in your neighborhood, and that you could start these and God will use them to reach people. So as we go into this next season, God has given us a new strategy as a church. It's to find the person of peace. So the person of peace is the person who is open to God or believes in God, but doesn't necessarily know Jesus, but will come to know Jesus, and then they'll turn around and they'll reach their entire network of people, their family, their friends, their neighborhood, their coworkers, because there's someone who's super passionate about Jesus and want to share him. And so some of you people here, you might be a person of peace yourself too. You might find yourself being that one who wants to invite people in and to lead them to Jesus like that. And so this strategy comes out of a 10-day fast I completed in July. So I did 10 days, water only. I did take a couple electrolytes along the way because I was feeling it pretty rough. And from that, God has given us this new strategy of finding people of peace. So the idea of this is, how do you take a person of peace from first contact to a thriving and multiplying church? And I believe that he wants to train us as a church, train each of us to be able to do that. And I'll say it's actually probably more simple than it is, than we think it is. I don't think it's that hard, because if Jesus, who lives in us by the power of his spirit, and we learn how to follow his spirit, he's gonna be the one who's doing all the work, and we just need to respond to what he's doing in the moment. So let's look at verses 6 through 10, and we're going to dive into this and see what God's going to say to us as a church as a whole, too. So next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north to the province of Bithynia, but again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. Did you notice that it was the Holy Spirit who was actually blocking Paul and Silas from getting somewhere? Wouldn't you think it was Satan who would want to block them? Like, they're wanting to go to preach the gospel. Wouldn't Satan want to stop them? But it was actually the Holy Spirit who was stopping them from going to the places that they thought they should be going to. And did you notice there's an interchange, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus were used there? That's pretty cool. So you get to see how Jesus is at work through his spirit in the lives of his people. So hear this, you can intend to do a good kingdom endeavor, but is it from Jesus? So you could be doing things in your life that you think are good for the kingdom, but is it actually what God wants you to be doing with your life? And so you actually have to seek God to get a word of what God specifically wants you to do with your life. So Anthony and Brianna, they shared how they felt called to church planting, and they got these words over a period of time, and then they redirected their entire life. Because they could have said, like, hey, we got a comfortable life. You know, I'm a teacher. I got a good job. We have this. Everything's established for us. And they could have just kept going but missed God's call. But they sought Jesus, and he gave them a very specific call. In my season, I had to make a decision. And I really just wanted to make this decision like that. Just snap my finger. I knew what I was supposed to do. But I felt like I actually need to get a word from God on what I'm supposed to do. Because I had one or two directions I could have went. And so I went and I sought the Lord for a couple hours at the LA Arboretum. And you know what he did? He didn't even give me an answer. He led me to a verse in Acts when Stephen is talking about the kind of the history of Israel. And he talks about David, how David was a man after his own heart. And he would be obedient to what God asked him to do. And you know what Jesus asked me to do in that moment? He said, surrender. He didn't tell me go this way or that way, the two options I had. He said, you need to surrender what you want to do, to where you come to a point where you will do whatever I ask you to do. And you know what I said? Yes, Lord. So I surrendered. And he didn't even speak to me in that time. And then I wanted another retreat, and he didn't even speak to me there, because I needed to work through forgiving people that had been brought up. So God cared more about me forgiving people than getting an answer from him. And then it was in a conversation that God gave me the guidance. And so I had to lay down what I thought was a good kingdom endeavor going in the direction I wanted to go, to surrender, to seek him, to actually get a word for what he wants me to do. So Paul and Silas were doing the same thing. They were going in a direction, but the Spirit of God was saying, no, 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 no. And now look what happens in verse 9 through 9 and 10. That night, Paul had a vision. a man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. So then Paul stilled himself before God. This is at night, right? So he's probably spending time in God's presence, and then God spoke. So it's when Paul sought Jesus that Jesus spoke to him, and he gave him an unexpected word. He said, "Go to Macedonia. There's a person and a people group there that I'm specifically calling to you that are crying out to me, that are crying out in their heart to God. And Paul and Silas, I'm sending you to go and share me with them. You've been chosen. Now go do it." So when you intentionally seek God, you'll get direction for God's plan for your life. Because you got two decisions. You can live your own life doing your own thing, or you can seek God and get a very specific word of what he wants you to do for his kingdom. Now look at verses 11 through 13. "So we boarded a boat to Troas and sailed straight across to the island of Samothrace, and the next day we landed at Neapolis. From there we reached Philippi, a major city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, and we stayed there several days." Did you see how far they had to travel after they got the word? They had to travel to all these different cities, and they had to put in a ton of time and a ton of effort. Could you imagine them saying, "Hey God, isn't there someone closer you could send me to? Like the guy down the street or the lady over at the store over there that runs that business?" But God said, "I'm gonna send you far. You gotta invest your time, you gotta invest your effort, and you gotta invest your money." Because for them to travel like that, they had to invest their finances. So they actually had to give them their whole selves to do what God wanted them to do. So you have to ask yourself this question: how far will you go to find a person of peace? How far will you go to find a person of peace? If it gets hard, will you give up? If it gets complicated, will you walk away? Or will you continue to press through until God leads you to that person he wants to come to know him so they can reach a bunch of people for the kingdom of God? So a person of peace is like hitting the jackpot in the kingdom of God. Y'all, when you drive on the freeway, you see those signs that says the jackpot's like 400 million, and it's like 800 million, sometimes crazy. Like if you hit that, I mean, statistics say your life is ruined because the money like ruins you. But for the kingdom of God, if you hit the jackpot with a person of peace and they reach 100, 200, 300, a couple thousand people because you led them to Jesus and you discipled them, I mean, that's the jackpot. It's worth it going for the jackpot in the kingdom of God. So look at verse 13 here. "So on the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer, and we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there." So on the Sabbath, Paul and his team, they went out to a place where they thought, "Hey, people will probably be praying over here, these spiritual people. Let's go to this place. Let's intentionally look for someone, a person of peace. This is where they might be." So there's spiritual activity going on, and there's gonna be spiritual people. So you notice the first thing they did? They didn't do anything like super spiritual. They simply just started having conversations with people. They just struck up. Maybe they're talking about the river. Maybe they're talking about the weather. Who knows? But this is what they did. They started with a casual conversation that probably led to a meaningful conversation that led to a spiritual conversation. So this is how you find people of peace. You start off with a casual conversation with someone. Then you'll talk about something meaningful with them. And that leads to a spiritual conversation ultimately about Jesus. So let's look at verses 14 through 15 as we wrap up and make it real practical of how we move forward. So it says, "One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized and she asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I'm a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged us until we agreed." So when you see Lydia here, how many of y'all know a business person who owns a lot of money? They have a lot of wealth, a lot of property. Anybody know anyone like that? A few people, right? So this is Lydia. Lydia dealt with purple cloth, which back then was really expensive. So she pulled in a lot of wealth. So think of someone who's really good at investing, knows how to flip things and make it work. This is Lydia. So she's a sharp woman. She knows how to work with people. She knows how to build wealth. So she happens to be at this river hanging out where people might be praying. So Paul started up this conversation. And did you notice it said that she worshiped God? but she didn't believe in Jesus. So she was open to God. She believed in God. She worshiped God, but she didn't know Jesus, because it said that her heart was open to believe in Jesus, to believe the gospel that Paul shared with her. So when someone believes in God or worships God but doesn't believe in Jesus, this is an indicator that they could be a person of peace, that God has been preparing their heart to believe in Jesus because they're open to God. So Lydia heard the gospel, and Jesus opened her heart to believe. So this is basic discipleship for us. So this is why we train to share our Jesus story. So this is why we train so much of who were you before Jesus, how did you come to know him, and how has he changed your life? Because if you can lock that in and you can share that with someone in a few minutes, then they're going to get to hear who Jesus is in a real practical way for your life. Then you share the gospel, the core of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, and what does that mean for humanity, and what does it mean for the person that you're sharing with. So when you can lock in your Jesus story and the gospel in a short period of time, and you have that honed down, and you can connect with people and begin to share that. So that's why we had Seed Sower training. So on the 29th of this month, on a Friday at 6 p.m., we're going to be at the Covina Farmers Market. We set up a booth there, and we do training. This last month, Phoebe, over here, give her a shout-out. Phoebe, she led our entire Seed Sower training. So she trained everybody that came, did a ton of practice. And when our team went out, dude, we had crazy divine appointments line up. We had some really cool stories. I'm not going to spoil them because people will share with Jesus at work of what God did, but some stuff was amazing. So when you show up in Jesus' name and you train and you're ready and he sends you out, God is going to be preparing people that he wants you to meet to share the gospel and to get them to know Jesus. And once you lead them to Jesus, they're a new believer. And what that means is that you get to disciple them. You get to take them through knowing Jesus, and you know, when you get to know him in the first time, you get to lead them to baptism, which remember a while back I was saying, like, I would love to hear someone just tell me, or I hear through the grapevine, that they got to baptize someone. That already happened in Enrich. I had heard, and then the person told me they got to baptize someone this past week that they had been discipling in their life. So it's already beginning to happen. So the idea is that y'all go, lead people to Jesus, disciple them. You can baptize them yourself. I don't need to be there. The Bible says you baptize them, Matthew 28, right? So you do it. I'd love to hear about it. Take a photo or something if you can. And then it's your responsibility to disciple them. So everybody here at Enrich Church is a disciple maker. We all make disciples. Everybody's included. Did you notice that the Lord opened your heart to believe? That means your job's easy. You don't have to convince anyone. You simply share how Jesus has changed your life. You share with them who he is and say, do you want to believe in Jesus? And Jesus will open their heart to believe with his love and his grace. So our role is simply this: be ready, be attentive, and be obedient. So be ready for what it is that you'll need to do yourself, and be attentive for what God's doing around you. And when he says go, you'll be obedient, and we step out and do it. So we share, and the Holy Spirit reveals to that person who Jesus is. Did you notice that not only Lydia believed, but her entire household believed? That's the person of peace concept, is not just the one person, but everybody that's connected with them comes to know Jesus. So when it says their household, the word is oikos in the Greek. It's kind of like your network of family, friends, relationships, your network of people. This is who Lydia led to come to know Jesus. She led a bunch of people. Wouldn't it be cool one day when you find that person of peace because you've been praying, you've been faithful, you've been seeking God, giving that person of peace. Jesus, I want a disciple. I'm willing to go the distance, invest my time, my money, my effort, everything. Person comes to know Jesus, and they say, come to my house. I want you to share about Jesus with my entire family. The person packs their house with family and friends and their neighbors, and the house is like 50, 60 people in it. And then the person at peace says, all right, share what you told me. You share with everyone, and everyone in that house gets saved right there. And they got a pool, and they say, we got to get baptized. And you're like, okay. And then 60 people get baptized right there. That's how a church is birthed, through a person of peace. So that's what Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to train. He wants to give you a person of peace in your faithfulness to Jesus. And then he wants you to disciple that person of peace, that their whole family and oikos is reached, and you're a church planter. It's actually pretty simple. So if you're a disciple maker, you can lead people to Jesus, and churches are birthed from people coming to know Jesus. And did you notice that Lydia was like, hey, come at my house. Come hang out. And it was like, it says that she had to urge him. So she had to maybe grabbed hold of him and said, Paul, come with me. Right? So this person of peace is the one I want to continue in relationship with you. This means they're going to like you. Right? So they're going to want to hang out with you and say, come over and come hang out with me. Journey with me. I want to know more of who Jesus is. Share more with me. So this is how a person of peace emerges. I'm going to show you exactly how it happens. And if you're listening to this, I got on my knees. So we get on our knees. We humble ourselves before Jesus. Jesus, prepare that person of peace. Jesus, cause that person of peace to emerge. Jesus, release them from darkness. Give them a hunger for you. And Jesus, I got a train, so I'm getting ready. Did you notice that there's a moment in time, it just comes together instantly in just a split second that it happens. So we have to be ready for that split second. So we pray in the person of peace. And then I'll be honest with you, you're going to have to rearrange your life schedule. Like, you're going to have to give up Netflix. You're going to have to give up doom scrolling. You're going to have to give up doing the things that you want to do with your own life to start living more and more for Jesus. You get to the point where the fire of God has consumed you so much, he's burned away the chaff from your life, where you don't live for yourself anymore. And you're living fully for Jesus. So if you want this person of peace and you want to see exponential people coming to salvation and see churches started. So the idea is that these people of peace, they get saved and their whole oikos comes to salvation. They're not coming here on Sunday morning. We are pushing out church plants. And so we'll actually be stewarding those church plants through relationships. So you can see how we're going to multiply churches. My prayer is that we grow to 70 disciple makers strong on a Sunday morning. I feel like it's a great number, it's biblical, and from there we're planting churches. And some of you who maybe are here in the future won't be here because you've gone out to plant a bunch of churches. We're going to be sending people out, and then God will continue to replenish what he wants to do. So this is how you test for a person of peace. How do you figure out if they're a person of peace? If you haven't written this down yet, the acronym is OHS. OHS. They're open to a relationship with you, so they actually like you. H, they're hungry. Hungry for answers to life's questions. And S, they share with others what they learn. So they're going to invite other people on the journey of Jesus with them. So OHS, open to relationship with you. Hungry for answers to life's questions. Shares with others what they learn. So here's the goal. The goal is this. Having first contact with a person of peace to a thriving and multiplying church. So the point when God will line you up with that person. And then you're going to guide them through the discipleship process to where they start a church that thrives. And then that church starts other churches that thrive. The person of peace concept. So I want to ask you a question that I want to have you ask God. What's the next step? What is Jesus inviting you into for your next step? So for some of you, it's like, I'm just going to go out and walk my neighborhood and just ask people like, hey, how long you lived around here? So you start a casual conversation, right? I've lived here for my whole life. Well, what's it been like living here? Well, then maybe they talk about something meaningful and you're like, hey, that's like really deep. You shared that about a struggle. Can we pray? If they say no, right away, you know, they're not a person of peace, but they say, yes, will you pray for me? You know, that's an indicator that they're potentially a person of peace. For some of you, it might be starting to discover a Bible study. You have the skills and tools now. So maybe you open up your home. Maybe you do it for maybe you throw a barbecue on your front yard or something and you invite your neighborhood, just get to know people. And then you connect. Hey, I'm going to start a discovery Bible study in my home. Would you want to come? We'll have some food. We'll talk about the Bible and we'll learn more of who God is. So you can do this. And there's some people in our group who've actually started these discovery Bible studies with their family and their friends. And there's people that are hungry for God who want to know him. And Jesus is just waiting for people to say yes to him to start these. So ask Jesus this question yourself. Jesus, like Paul did, right? What's your next step for me? So take a moment and ask him that question. Jesus, what is your next step for me? And after you get that next step, write it down. Write down what you feel like Jesus is giving you guidance to do. And then next, write down how will you obey the passage? How will you obey what the scriptures say? What is that you need to do this week to obey Jesus with your life? And then after you get those, share that with the person next to you. And the idea is that when you share, it reinforces what God is doing in your life and someone gets to hear about what God wants to do to be encouraged too. So what's your next step and how will you obey the scriptures from what we studied? and then share that with the person next to you. So as we wrap up, I'll share with you some things that I'm doing to try and like make this really practical. Some of y'all heard we played pickleball the other day. So I'm getting plugged into the pickleball community here in the area. There's a lot of people that play pickleball. So I'm going out and playing pickleball, and I'm just having casual conversations that lead to meaningful, leading to spiritual. And I'm going through and just connecting, building genuine relationships, saying, Jesus, we lead me to that person of peace. Who is the person that you have? I'm also going to do a ride-along with our Azusa PD this Thursday. So that'll be cool to like do a ride-along with them. I just want to build relationships and learn how can our church support our local PD as well, which would be cool. I got Discovery Bible Study at my house Wednesday nights. And we do workout Wednesday, and Justin came, hung out with us. He's also super fit, so he taught George and I some lessons on all the weights and stuff. Yeah, so we're just creating spaces to connect with people and build relationships. And it's from building relationships that are just natural that Jesus will draw people to himself as he lives in you and your life. So I'm gonna invite you to do this, and you don't have to do it, but it's up to you. If you are going to say, yeah, Jesus, I'm willing to commit to learn, so you take me to the point where I could have that, you can give me a person of peace to start a thriving, multiplying church, I'm going to invite you just to come on your knees. But if you're an older person, and I know we have some older people here, we got Jaime over here, he's in the nice chair. If you're like, I can't get on my knees today, then you just get on your knees in your heart with Jesus, right? But if you're a younger person, like all the other people here, I'm going to invite you, if you're willing to say yes to Jesus, if you're not there, you're like, not today, it's totally cool. This is between you and God. But I'm going to get on my knees too. And what this is it's a yes to God saying, I'm willing, here I am. So if you want to get on your knees and say, yeah, Jesus, lead me to a person of peace and ready me, I'm going to invite you to do that. If you're unable to get on your knees, you can just get on your heart, in your heart, and on your knees before him. I'll pray for us. So Jesus, you've given us this strategy and commission as a church to become someone who can make contact with a person of peace and lead them to a relationship with you and starting a thriving, multiplying church in relationship with them, with their network of relationships. So Jesus, we're learning how to do this. We don't really know, and we ask that you would teach us. So we humble ourselves before you and say, Jesus, would you teach us how to do this? Would you give us the right heart? Would you fill us with your love? Would we be ready and attentive to know how to have a casual conversation to a meaningful, to a spiritual? And knowing that you're already preparing that person of peace. So Jesus, we pray that you would establish that divine appointment, that Kairos moment, when that person of peace will connect with our life and we'll connect with their life, and it's going to start a new awesome relationship and we get to journey with them. So Jesus, on our knees physically or in our hearts or both, we just simply say, here I am. I'm willing. We're willing. Jesus is a church. So would you show us your way, Jesus, how to do this? Would you train us and teach us over this next season? And would you make us really skilled at this, that we can teach and train other churches how to do the same thing? That we would see a discipleship multiplication movement start here in Southern California and go beyond. So here we are, Jesus. In your name, amen.